We'll call to order at 4:34. How's that?
That was great.
Perfect.
Do we have any public comments? I don't believe we do. I think everybody here is a member of Shack. Don't forget, anybody can always attend Shack to view. Our Shack meetings are public. And if somebody has a public comment, we just have a sheet we normally have them fill out before they speak, just like at the board meeting. Tonight should be fairly quick. We're going to do an update on several items for you, just so that you know where we're at and where we're headed. And then I'm going to collect some feedback from you on an index card. We've had plenty of long meetings. And so first, I think that everybody in here is to be commended on the many hard decisions that we've had to make over the last almost 2 years for this committee. We are working through a lot of the things that came through those. And so that gets us really to the first item, which is feedback collected regarding curriculum materials. So this is where last time we came to you and the counselors had recommended play it safe and not a number. Right now we have received no feedback. We've received positive verbal feedback as far as anybody submitting written feedback. We've not received written feedback. Where we expect to get a lot of feedback will be when we, on Play It Safe, do the parent information night, when parents can really decide whether or not they want to opt in their child or not. And we'll have a parent information night for elementary and for middle school, and I'll update y'all on those. As far as feedback in regards to concerns about the curriculum, no feedback in regards to concerns about the curriculum. We've heard positive comments that it is the curriculum, both of those that many of the child advocacy groups use, and that with us partnering with the Hill Country Children's Advocacy Center, that's a very positive thing, and that there are trained, experienced people. We've also received positive feedback back on that we plan to train all of our counselors to build that capacity, particularly at the secondary level, since there are so many students, and for everybody to receive the same message that getting all of the counselors trained and not a number to be able to deliver out. And so as it stands right now, it went to the board for first reading at the last meeting, February 21st. Hopefully the Board of Trustees will vote to approve Play It Safe and not a number. Now to update you, keep in mind their dates fill up. So we already have had to book our dates for Play It Safe at the elementary schools, knowing that if the board voted no, we would have to just call back the Children's Advocacy Center and say sorry, but we do have to have the dates or we wouldn't be able to get on this year. Does that make sense? And so for your information, the dates that we have sketched right now is really right at the before spring break, and we'll have this in a minute, that Colt is March 8th and 9th, Marble Falls Elementary, March 6th and 7th, Spicewood, March 10th, and Highland Lakes Elementary, March 23rd and 24th. We are looking right now, she gave us two options for parent preview night, February 27th and March 1st, because you need to hold the preview night ahead of time. I can't send out information about the preview night until we have the board meeting for final approval, okay? We have not set the dates yet for middle school. It'll be later. But for right now, that's where we're at right now. And so the 27th is a Monday night, I believe. 27th is a Monday night. February 27th is a Monday night. March 1st is a Thursday? Wednesday. Okay. I've asked several people. I've checked the district calendar. It's been recommended March 1st would be more favorable than February 27th. I wasn't sure if anybody had a preference in here. Monday and Wednesday are better than Tuesdays and Thursdays as far as basketball and that going on. But there's pros and cons to both. February 27th doesn't give parents a lot of time when I'm sending out the communication to everybody on the 22nd, because the board meeting is the 21st, so the 22nd. March 1st gives a little bit more time for parents on the front end to be prepared to come to the meeting. However, on the back end, for parents to fill out the form, you know, February 27th, there's more time for them to fill out the form. It seems that I've heard most people seem to be preferring starting March 1st. I didn't know if anybody had a preference here. It's also easy to remember March 1st for a parent meeting night, but it is a Wednesday night. Any preference? No real preference. Yes, ma'am.
I prefer the first, but I'm wondering why can't you send out that the preview is going to happen regardless of what the curriculum is and then cancel it if it doesn't get approved?
Oh, that's a good idea. We could send out that, yes, they have a customized letter for us for Play It Safe, but we could send out and have it be general.
Yeah.
We could say the district is considering this. Yeah, we could do that.
That way parents can
plan. I think that's a good suggestion. We were just going real strict by like, you know. But is everybody in agreement for that? I'm in agreement for that. That way that gives parents, we could have something out by the end of the week or Monday. If we have Monday the 13th, that gives plenty of time. I like March 1st also. I think it's a good day for people to easier to remember, possibly. We tried to stay off of things on Wednesday nights for a while. Parents are starting to say it's easier sometimes on Wednesday night than Tuesday or Thursday night. You know, it just depends on what families have. Okay, so where we're at is we are still scheduling middle school, and we are still working on the logistics for high school. And so the logistics for high school, so the way that not a number is done, you know, for high school, we do so many lessons in ninth grade, so many in 10th, so many in 11th, so many in 12th. It's a lot of lessons to try to get done in 3 weeks, 3 months left or so of school, like to get the 12th graders all of it. So we're kind of weeding through that right now. The goal is by the time they get through high school, they have all of it, but there's a base that everybody gets every single year in case they were not with us the year before. So we're working out those logistics to the non-a-number for high school. So I don't have exact dates on those. And high school's going to be a little different because, you know, you can't get all 1,200 kids done in one day. You don't want an audience of 1,200 kids or an audience even of 400 kids in the gym doing that. That doesn't create the appropriate atmosphere for really how it should be delivered. It's supposed to be more small group with facilitation. We do have advisory classes, and so we have the structures in place to be able to do it small group, but when I give you the information around it, it's going to be like they're doing it over 5 weeks through advisory. It's not going to be a two-day or a one-day like Play It Safe is, if that makes sense. Do you all have any questions in regards to Play It Safe or not a number? No? Okay. I've talked to Hutto ISD. They have talked very, you know, they also chose the same. They've talked very favorably. We've talked to some of the other area school districts around here. They also have talked very favorably. And so I think that as a team, you know, we did really, really well coming to a decision. And I think the groups of educators that really researched the different things, you know, they put in quite a bit of time. The next thing I had, progress and feedback regarding human sexuality lessons in grades 4-8. So we thought we'd give you an update in regards to where we are at on that. This is something that you already way previously had voted on and that we had agreed to the materials for the human sexuality TEKS. Keep in mind, some of the human sexuality TEKS are also the same things that are in not a number of Play It Safe. But we have to send out as two permission slips. It is possible that a parent says yes to Play It Safe and not a number and no to human sexuality TEKS. That is possible. What they would miss out on would be puberty, reproduction, fetal development, if we're talking fifth grade. If we're talking fourth grade, it would be a puberty discussion and menstrual cycle. And then middle school gets a little bit more complex, but really it's basically the same. Reproductive, fetal development, and going through puberty. Where we're at right now, the middle school teachers have met several times and they have scripted out lessons at middle school. And so 6th and 7th grade will deliver the lessons in May. And there is, you know, it's split up as far as who's delivering the different lessons and what class is that happening. And the teachers have met. And in 8th grade, most likely it will be delivered in April. Remember, these are all opt-in permission forms that go out. And in 8th grade, all of it will be delivered in level 1. There's a level up class we have right that we have started in 8th grade. So in 8th grade, all of it will be delivered in level up. The level up teachers met on Monday and worked on scripting out their lessons. And so for elementary, it's a little bit more complicated. So in elementary, we are required to teach the health TEKS, of course. in addition to PE teams and that. In an elementary school, it was determined that, you know, there are certain standards that are better for the counselors to teach, there are certain standards that are better for the PE teachers, and then the nurses have normally done human growth and development. And so we are going, I am going to send an email to principals tomorrow that the, basically the human sexuality teaks that deal with puberty, which includes hormones, menstrual cycle is listed for fourth grade, and then puberty, menstrual cycle, hormone changes, and then for fifth grade also fertilization, reproduction, fetal development, those lessons won't happen until May. And so one thing that we have found in beginning to work out and script the lessons from Quaver, which is the curriculum material we approved, we have to remember our nurses are not teachers, they're nurses. And so the materials we chose are teacher materials, and they have the information in there. Just in the past, how we've done our human growth and development talks, they've been able to play a video and then facilitate a discussion. Well, the video that they've played in the past doesn't include everything from the teaks, or in the case of fourth grade, it includes way more than what's really supposed to be shared in fourth grade. And so we're having to work through some things on that. But we will stick to Quaver for this spring. We're just going to bring together again the PE teachers, and remember the counselors have all been teachers, with the nurses to kind of script the lessons out. The nurses are not used to, like, I'm gonna teach a lesson today, and here's the warm-up, and here's it. Like, they're not used to an instructional cycle. That's not part of their normal job. And so we need to, it will help having a teacher do that alongside of them, and so we need a little bit more time. As a heads up, it is possible that in the fall, after we've gone through this first round, that we want to hear feedback, right? So in the fall, at our first meeting, we will probably debrief over how it all went this spring. How did Play It Safe go? How did Not a Number go? How did the fourth and fifth grade lessons go? How did the middle school lessons go? And it is possible, and I'll use the elementary, let's just use the elementary example. It is possible that, for instance, I get the sense that some of our nurses might be adamant, that our nurses might be adamant that they are able to show a clip from something that's not within Quaver, and what that would be kind of a supplement to what we adopted. And if that is the case, and we think that we need to supplement with something else, then we kind of have to start part of our process over again. Like, we're agreeing that we're going to supplement the curriculum materials we adopted with this, and then we vote, and then we take it to the board, because that's how it's all written. These lessons aren't delivered until the spring, so it gives us the perfect opportunity in the fall. We'll collect right after they're done, so we have it all fresh. And actually, we will have some of it done by April when we have our last meeting. But we'll collect, and then we can start the school year with a debrief of that. And is there anything we need to adjust, or are we just all good? One of the concerns from the elementary nurses, and from, you know, really Amber and Donna, and then Selena Crawford, who's now at our high school but was at Marble Falls Elementary for years. Donna was at Highland Lakes Elementary for years and is now at Marble Falls Middle School, is that some of the videos within Quaver, they're very cartoon-like, and they do have the content, but it may be a little too young for a fifth grader, and they can do those lessons, but it could be that using part of one of the videos they've used in the past might be better. And so we're gonna progress with what we adopted and then gather feedback, and then we'll see where we're at in the fall. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know until we do it the first time anyway, right? And so once we, and that goes for all of this, we go through the first round of Play It Safe, I expect, based on our history, that almost all of our parents will opt in. Our parents have tended to opt in, but after we go through this first round of Play It Safe has a feedback form, we will then debrief on how did that go. Did it go well at every campus? Did this campus struggle a little bit when it was delivered? What do we need? Do we need to have more support people in with the kids? We'll debrief on all of that and bring that back to y'all. And And the same with not a number, because you know not a number gets into some more serious discussions. And a debrief on all the levels, because remember kindergarten, when Patty and Rebecca were presenting Play It Safe, you know, kindergarten has Spot the Dog, and Spot the Dog is talking about the bathing suit, and what's under the bathing suit is private, and you know, just a discussion all the way from kindergarten to fourth or fifth grade, and then what it looked like in middle school, how did that go, and then we also talked about teacher training, so however we have the teacher training, getting responses from the teachers, and then we can debrief on everything in September. And then decide as a shack from the recommendations that come forth, like, we're good, we want to stay, and then we're like, okay, or we need to make some adjustments, we'd like to see this, and then we talk about it as a group. So, any questions from y'all? That was a lot, I know. But we wanted to update you where we were on this. And so, you know, the level, and it took me, I gotta be honest, when I met with the elementary nurses, when I talked to Amber, and I met with Selena and Donna, you know, it's like, I know that they, you know, they haven't spent a certain number of years in the classroom. They go in the classroom and do little lessons, and they're extremely support. You know, Kelly was a nurse for years. She, all that, but as far as like, Quaver is written as far as executing teacher lessons, it's a little bit different. And so, like I said, we're gonna kind of bring everybody back. Gino will work with Amber and the PE teacher, and we'll all talk about really how to deliver those lessons.
Are the nurses required to do it, or are you trying to incorporate them?
No, we were trying to incorporate them because they'd always done the video and the talk.
Do they want to do that? Like,
yes.
Okay.
But not yes, but I think more support, if that makes sense. And for instance, in fourth grade and fifth grade, where it says basically they'll be able to describe the menstrual cycle, the other thing that kind of became an aha for everybody was in the past we've had the girl video and the boy video. The boy video talked about boy parts, the girl video talked about girl parts. Well, when one of the student expectations is to be able to define the menstrual cycle, right? To understand what the menstrual cycle is, that's for all kids. It doesn't say only the girls need to be able to know the menstrual cycle. It's all. And we are sticking with gender same for the discussions, but when it talks about those hormonal changes, it's the discussion with all the kids. So the boy group learns a little bit about girl stuff, and the girl group learns a little bit, basic little bit about boy stuff, but that is something that it's a little bit, you know, it is a little bit different. And you know, some of the, like when we say define the menstrual cycle, I think that's also a good idea. We send home, or we have in the past, we have sent home a pad, right? And deodorant.
And
then for the boys, we sent, last year we got them donated by somebody, so last year, and we bought some, but we bought a lot of it, yeah. But, and then with the boys, we sent home deodorant. So we talk about puberty, and that was the plan again this year, was to send those home. Remember, we just didn't send the booklet because the booklet had changed and we all had reviewed it. But we just need to kind of build things out with a little bit more specificity and defining the rules. Just throwing the nurses in, this is not, that's not necessarily fair and will be the best for our kids, but the nurses are tremendously talented, so being a part of all that is. And so we need a little bit more planning. Everybody was gonna try to do it a little sooner, but we need a little bit more planning in May. We'll still use the same resources. We've been in Quaver, and part of that's that discussion, you know, do you use a cartoon picture of a body part, and I mean in like showing like a fallopian tube, a cartoon picture of a fallopian tube that doesn't even look like a fallopian tube, or the brief shot in the video that kind of looks like it to explain, or do we, you know, and so that's part of the discussion. We're just going back and being much more specific. The other parts, though, like in fifth grade, there are two additional standards for human sexuality. One of them covers healthy relationships, which is also covered in Play It Safe. The other one covers sexual harassment, human trafficking, sexual abuse. That's also in Play It Safe. And so those two are reinforced through the counselors and the PE teachers. So I'm really just talking about those ones that are truly the human body, human growth and development, if that makes sense. You all have any more questions? Okay. You know, I appreciate the elementary nurse feedback because, and I guess the way I explained with the cartoon is the best way for me to explain it. You know, how have we been educating kids in regards to this? And, you know, if we really are following those standards that we set out, what are the best lessons for us to pull from those curriculum materials? And so just pulling everybody together as a group again to kind of relook through it all. But everybody will still be in the room when they're delivered. We're still doing it gender specific. It's just going to happen more towards May, which is honestly when we normally did it. So we're not, timeline-wise, it's no different for the parents. The main difference for the parents is that it's new for fourth grade. That's the main difference for the parents. Fourth grade, people are not used to that their fourth grader will hear some of this. And we're required by the state to start that with fourth grade. But remember, fourth grade doesn't get fertilization, reproduction, and fetal development. Fourth grade gets puberty and menstrual cycle. Those are the two. Okay. Just checking to see. So we'll keep you updated again. We'll update you in April. We will have done all of Play It Safe by our April meeting. Hopefully we'll have done almost all of Not a Number. So we'll be able to brief before the end of the school year on those two items, and then human growth and development at the start of the year. Human growth and development, you may be able to debrief on 6th and 7th grade. On 8th grade. 8th grade at our April meeting. Let me just check if I have everything here. I do. So letters will start to go out. We cannot use a combined letter. So the Play It Safe opt-in letter is different from the Human Sexuality opt-in letter. So the Play It Safe opt-in letter will go out pretty quick after the board meeting. The Human Sexuality letter will go out no more than a certain number of days before we do those lessons in May for elementary. And the state actually in the legislation prescribed how many days. We can't have everybody sign the paper at the start of the year. It has to be within so many days of the instruction happening. And we normally call every parent to check. So it's not like, oh, you 30 brought in your form, so you're going to do it. We call everybody who has not turned in the form, and we'll continue to do that and get a yes or a no. We get a yes or a no from every single person. At the middle school level, they have already picked out the alternate activities that the students will do if their parents do not offer them. Because there are some activities that kind of align with making safe choices and that, but don't tie into sexual choices. There are parallel activities that will happen that the students will be in. So it's not like they're just sitting in the library watching a video or off to the side being punished because their parent didn't opt in. That's not how it works. They will be participating in lessons and activities will be just as rich as what the kids will be in class. So. Okay. The next thing I had, district updates. I have a list of district updates. So if you don't know what's going on, you are fixing to know what's happening in the district. The very first update is, y'all know Dr. Allen left? Not sure if you know. If you didn't know Dr. Allen left. His last day in the school district was January 31st. He has a new job as the superintendent in Midway ISD. He actually used to be in Midway ISD years ago. And Midway ISD, sometimes there are those hard decisions you make in life that you make for your family. And Midway ISD is closer to his parents and will be equal distance to both of his kids at college, just various other things. Dr. Jeff Gassaway, he's been our deputy superintendent. Right now he's our interim. So if you normally call Dr. Allen, you're still going to call Crystal, and Crystal will join you up with Dr. Gassaway. So Dr. Gassaway is our interim. In every meeting we're trying to share, so the school board did share out to all parents a feedback form in regards to the superintendent search. The school board is undergoing a superintendent search. It is not, though, I love Mr. Nauman described this yesterday in a Zoom that we had for all staff. The board did not decide to engage a $50,000 search firm to go through. We are still going through a full search, and we're using our school district's lawyers for going through the search. And we are taking all of the information. It's posted in places for people who apply for superintendents. They're taking applications through February 15th. Most likely, no guarantee, but most likely interviews would happen around the first week of March. And then it could be possible that a finalist is selected towards the end of March. Just depends on how things go. It could be possible they say, oh, we want to open it back up again. It just depends. Then, just so you know, though, once a lone finalist is decided, we haven't been through this here in 8 years, right? 7, 8 years. Once a lone finalist is decided, there's a 21-day waiting period. So a district says, this is our person. And then everything sits for 21 days. And in that 21 days, all types of things can happen. But after that 21 days is over, then the Board of Trustees is able to go ahead and vote on their lone finalist. During that 21 days, sometimes contract negotiations are happening. People drop out. People decide, oh, I didn't really want to move here. People decide, oh, maybe sometimes boards decide, oh, you know what, on second thought, we want to back off. That all different things sometimes happen. But there's a 21-day mandatory waiting period. And then after that, the board votes on their lone finalist. And so that's how the process works. Remember, I said there was an input form that was released. If you don't have the link to the input form, you can go ahead and email me, and I'll make sure and send you out. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll send out the link to all of Shaq so that you have the input form. A couple things I should clarify. On a superintendent search, in Yarda's experience, none of the district employees are involved in the superintendent search. Okay? In any I've been through where several have been hired at my previous place, that one of the main responsibilities of the Board of Trustees for a school district is to hire the superintendent. So the feedback form that I'll send you all the link just in case you didn't get it, Mr. Payson, am I correct? Mr. Payson is the main one managing the feedback form. It's not like Yarda, another district employee, we can't see anything. The Board of Trustees, Mr. Payson, gives them what's submitted. Mr. Payson is handling the form. The other thing too is I remember recently a friend of mine, they got a new superintendent in their district, and they're in HR, and they had said, well, darn it, I wasn't even included. Yeah, you're not. One of the board's main functions is to hire a superintendent of the school district. And so our board is working through that process right now. I will send all of you the feedback form. I just did want to point out that that's not feedback that all the district people read, that Mr. Payson on the board reads it and shares it with the other board members. Y'all have any questions over that? Okay, so February 15th is the closing, and then the board moves forward from there. Other things going on, secondary course kids, fifth grade and up, they are starting to sign up for courses for next year. So if you have a kid in fifth grade or up, they should be signing up for courses. So just know that is going on, and their choice sheets are due. Please email a counselor if you have a question. You're also always welcome to reach out to me. I love counseling type stuff. Dwayne might kill you if you reach out to me, but you know, you can reach out to me and I'll refer you to Dwayne. February 24th. February 24th is the Rick Edwards Day of Service. I'm also going to, I'll forward you some information in regards to that. If you know a community organization that has projects for it, please have them submit on the form. I think did he extend the form only till today though, or till
Monday?
Monday? Okay. So if you know a community organization that could use some service projects, our original goal was to have every middle school, and still is our goal, every middle school and every high school kid engaged in service on that day. In memory of Rick Edwards, we at least want to get all 1,200 high school kids out. Now we also need the word spread, that we need the parents to fill out the permission form for your kids to participate in service. So your kid is not going to be able to go participate in service if you don't fill out the permission form. And then kids will be transported on district transportation. They will be chaperoned by district personnel. So even though they might be at a park doing a certain project, there is a high school staff member or a middle school staff member, a district employee that's there with them. Okay? Works just like any other field trip. So if your kid has a medical issue, the nurse will make sure that whoever that chaperone is that your kid is with is aware that they do have asthma or whatever other issue. So it works just like a field trip. But our goal is on February 24th to engage them. We need more projects. If you know of some projects that need done, we need more projects. Elementary students will not go somewhere else. They will do some things at their campus. Acts of kindness, cards, a variety of other things that are happening in elementary classes. So any questions about the Rick Edwards Day of Service? Okay, so if you know somebody, please get them to submit a project. We've heard some people say, oh, well, we could use all these kids to help do this, but they've not submitted. And so I will, this evening, I will forward you that form so that you can go ahead and submit for them. Are you involved in that, Dwayne?
No.
Not yet? Not really? I know Mr. Adams, Ms. Metzger, Ms. Puckett is starting to get involved to try to see if we can get some more projects. Mr. Nauman is leading getting the list of all the projects, and then we're matching up the kids. Has there been a lot of talk about it? Are people excited? Not really? As I put you on the spot in front of everybody?
There's like posters up. I haven't heard much about it, but there have been like announcements. And we did get permission slips today.
Oh, paper ones. Yes, so if you did not fill out the electronic form, I think your child is coming home with a paper one.
Paper ones, just in case.
If your child, I know supposedly there's a softball tournament that day, there might be something else. You know, there's always a chance that something like that gets canceled. If you fill out the permission form just in case, then your kid is able to go if the event they were going to go to gets canceled. But yes, and I think they plan to group some kids by like groups of organizations and that they already participate in. So kids are participating in service, not with just all kids that they may not have in classes or work with in another capacity. In case you were not aware, this is a big deal. Y'all might think it's minor. I cannot remember Jimmy's last name, but tomorrow night at the basketball game, we are celebrating Jimmy's 75th birthday, and Jimmy is going to get a new letter jacket. And he's been, do you know Jimmy's last name?
Bernie.
Thank you. That's right. 75th birthday. So during the basketball game, we're going to celebrate his birthday. And if you just want to see a happy gentleman that has all the love for Marble Falls you could possibly ever see, you can come see us celebrate his birthday at halftime. And so there's actually there's a press announcement on it. He is at almost every athletic game. He normally has to have a ride, so somebody takes him. A lot of times, Mr. Hoover, Dr. Gasway, there's a variety of people that pick him up and take him so that he can go to all the different events. If you've been to a football game or been to another game, you've seen Jimmy, you just don't know you've seen Jimmy. But that is Friday night. Weather days. So a school district now just has to have a certain number of minutes for the year. We'll have enough number of the minimum minutes with even taking the weather days. And so we're not going to have to make up the school days. I think that's already stated, but just to calm everybody again, we're not going to have to make up the school days. The school board, though, will have to vote and take care of a couple business items. For instance, like there's a part with employees that has to be taken care of in regards to how that works for employee days. There are a couple other things. We're waiting on a couple of things. Like right now, we know we have enough banked minutes. We're good. We could probably even, like, if we had something else that happened for one day, possibly two, we're still good. We don't have to use a bad one or make up it. However, because so many districts were impacted, the Texas Education Agency is talking about releasing a waiver, which could mean that we don't have to use up those minutes for that. If you remember during COVID, we had to close Highland Lakes for a week, and then we also closed a couple other times during COVID. In that, we had enough banked minutes. The only campus that did have to make up some minutes was Highland Lakes Elementary. And how we did that, because we weren't going to have Highland Lakes come to school when nobody else had to. We weren't going to have everybody come to school when only Highland Lakes needed the minutes. We added like 8 minutes at the start of the day and 8 minutes at the end of the day. And so their day started a little earlier and ended a little later from spring break to the end of the school year. And nobody really noticed because almost all the kids are there early anyway, so they started school earlier. And then you just had to make the buses wait for 8 minutes. And the buses were always at the high school and middle school early anyway. So the buses just waited for 8 minutes and it worked out. So we have different ways we can work through those, but we are not going to have to use a bad one today. Just reading that. The pre-K-3. You're going to start to see some information get released again about pre-K-3. We are having pre-K-3 next year. We have pre-K is normally just for students that qualify based on certain areas of need. For our pre-K-3, we also will allow for people to pay if they don't qualify for need. And so our pre-K-3 is $4,000 across 10 months, so $400 a month. Your pre-K is taken care of. Your three-year-old then all day for $400 a month, and they get a really good education with high-quality certified teachers if you choose. But you'll start to see some more information about pre-K-3 start to go out next week. We blasted some stuff in the late fall, and then we'll send out some more stuff coming. Employees do get a slight discount off of that, and so you'll just start to see more about pre-K-3. Just know that. The last district update I had before I have a little card here for you to do as an exit ticket is that, Caitlin, will you stand for a second? Just a second. Do y'all know? So, Caitlin Puckett. So, I wanted to make sure that everybody in here, like Caitlin Puckett, she's been coming to all our SHAC meetings. Caitlin is our district-wide social worker. Okay? If you know of somebody, you can say that. If you know of somebody that needs assistance, and they have children in our school district, you can call Caitlin, and Caitlin is not gonna say, you know, well, Stephanie Berry called me, and I'm calling you. She will not say who called her. Now, she's gonna ask, you know, well, who are you? Well, I'm Kara Hager, I'm with you on check. Okay, call Caitlin. Caitlin reaches out to the family. She tries to see if they're okay. She connects them with resources. She connects them with the Highland Lakes Crisis Network. Sometimes we have families that are not agreeable with working with the crisis network. We still need to serve those families in some capacity, and so Caitlin works through finding what other resources, how we can serve them. And so, Caitlin, it's very important. When I send the email, I'm going to send you Caitlin's email. If you know of a family that is in need of assistance, if you send Caitlin. If you only know the kid's name, if you only know the parent's name, we can search by a parent name. We can figure it out. If you know his pieces, just let us know. She reaches out. She has done this for years. She's only been with, believe it or not, she's only been with us just not, I mean, a year. It seems like 3 years. I mean, like, she's been a huge wealth for us. We stole her from the hospital. I'll just be honest. We stole her from the hospital. But really, we have a lot of families that have experienced trauma that are in desperate need. I notice all the time on the Nextdoor application, people are posting, I just lost my home, this or that. A lot of times I'll private message them with information about the crisis network because they'll connect them with housing. If they say they have a child somewhere, I'll get their name, give it to Caitlin. Caitlin will reach out. And so just a huge resource for us. And we probably in April will get Caitlin to share some things in regards to what she's seen. And Dwayne, in regards to mental health across the district for the years. But I just wanted y'all to really, you've seen Caitlin in meetings, but she can help connect a family if you know a family in need. Yes, ma'am.
I have gone to lunch, driven down the road, seen a lady on the corner with young children, text Caitlin. Caitlin stopped what she was doing, drove down. The family was gone by the time she got there, but she drove around looking for them to try to connect them with the resources that they might need.
Yes, and we have, you know, we have doctors, dentists that are willing to work through with family situations. Sometimes they just don't know how to access Medicaid. They might not know how to access. They don't know how to access to get on the list for food, for food stamps, for other various assistance. And so the, you know, eyeglasses, You never know if it's that the parent doesn't even know the kid's eyeglasses are broken, or can they really not afford to get eyeglasses, all kinds of medical resources, housing resources, and other resources.
Yes, ma'am, what did you want to mention, Teen Mom?
Yes, I meant to mention Teen Mom. Do you want to talk about it? It's the same weekend as the Rick Edwards Day of Service.
Yeah, so Teen Mom is Texas Mission of Mercy, and they're going to be putting on a free dental clinic in the area on the 24th.
24th and 25th,
Friday and Saturday, in the Marble Falls Gym, correct?
Marble Falls High School Gym.
And they're going to be providing free dental care. Their goal is to serve up to 800 people. There was a pre-screening event scheduled for this Saturday, and it filled up very quickly. So they're looking at some more options for opening up more pre-screening, but it's going to be great. We've heard a story of a woman who does not currently have teeth that's going to walk out of that event with a full set of dentures at no cost to her. So it's really going to be life-changing for some
and
people.
And has not had teeth for most of her adult life.
Yes. So if you know of somebody that could benefit from that, please give them that information. We'll have to be looking for more pre-screening information, but they can also walk up. There's just no guarantee that they'll be able to be served if they just walk up, but it's certainly worth a try.
And the understanding is the pre-screening is so they can be prepared to serve exactly what they need.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
How will we find out more about the pre-screen, the next pre-screen day?
Will you include the information in the email that you're going to send out?
Yes. I
didn't we don't currently know what the next pre-screening date is going to be. The Crisis Network is working with Teen Moms on that. Yeah. But it'll also be posted on our Facebook page if there is a pre-screening event that comes open, and the Crisis Network page.
And that's only adults, right?
It's 8 and up.
8 and up.
Right. 8 and up. Yep, 8 and up. And includes adults.
Okay, those are updates that I had. Does anyone have any questions or anything else? No? Okay, we have one meeting left for the year. And we'll have several things to do in that meeting at the last meeting for the year. And I think we are really, even though we may have some adjustments or might not have adjustments in the fall, on the sex ed curriculum, I really think this time, even though we have a legislative session this summer, that we'll be able to get to some other things for SHAC as we come into the new year. The legislative session, there's all kinds of stuff happening, but I think we'll be able to move on. I have a card there for you. You don't need to put your name on, but what I would like for you to put on that card is when you think about physical health, mental health, social, just emotional well-being, what is, or any aspect, we've gone through board policy several times, anything from recess to PE, anything that really SHAC has purview over, what is something you really would like to hear kind of an update, or how we do it here in Marble Falls to close out the year at the April meeting? And so you can write as a question. If you want to put your name, you can, but you don't have to. We're going to go through all the cards and kind of construct an update for you on various things. Most likely a couple of you will say the same thing, so it will be grouped in. But what are some things that you would like to see an update on, or you would like information over that we could possibly fit in at the last SHAC meeting that's other than these topics that we've had going for the year? By the way, we have done very important work. I don't know if you realize there are some districts that have just barely started what we started last school year. And the sad part to that is that is just longer than that their students are not getting the information. Their students aren't receiving that. And you know, so we've done great work. You all are to be commended. We've done great work. And so just what are some other areas of great work And you could even write something you would like to see, but something you would like an update on. You could add something you would like to see, and then you can just put the card up here on the table, and really we're dismissed. So I think we could adjourn while you finish your cards because there's not any discussion, unless anyone has a question. Is everybody good to be adjourned? Yes? Everybody's very tired, I can tell. Okay.
We adjourn at 5:18.
5:18.